right, good friends. Welcome. It's 4 p.m. Central Time, or thereabouts, a little bit after, to tell you the truth, but that's due to the top-of-the-hour news broadcast that you just listened to. And you're listening to me right here on GCN, and that means it's now time for INN World Report Radio. Welcome, friends. My name is Tom Kiley, and I will be your host for the rest of the hour. And we come to you, INN World Report. We are a group of independent media activists in New York City. We produce this talk news radio program as well as the top of the hour radio news brief that you were just listening to. And we also produce alternative television news and information. So that's what we do. We got started in the wake of the 2000 election right here in New York City, about 1.5 mile directly north of Ground Zero. And of course, that in and of itself is a lot of information that is needed to be distributed throughout the country, throughout some kind of a media network. And that's why we got involved, because certainly the corporate media is not doing what it needs to be doing to help us right the ship of state, which is drastically off course. I think everyone would agree. And let me just tell you, today we've got Brad Friedman going to be our guest again from Brad Blog. If you don't go there, very, very interesting website. Brad, I would say Brad started off as an election activist, I believe in the wake of the 2000 stolen election, excuse me, the 2004 election. And he's been just a real go-to person when it comes to election fraud and voting machines and so forth. Does a great, great job. And he's branched out into a lot of other tangential areas. You know, he does a lot of work, for instance, with Sybil Edmonds. I asked him to join us today because he's got a great take that he's got on his website concerning what happened, the hit that happened to the group Eggcorn, I believe, headquartered right here in New York City, over in Brooklyn, as a matter of fact. But this group has been a thorn in the side of the Republican Party for quite some time, and they've taken every opportunity that they can to try to hack away at the efficacy of this group. It's pretty simple, friends. It's because, in my opinion, this group is working for poor people and getting them organized, particularly getting them out to vote, to get them signed up and enrolled on the voter rolls and so forth. And that, of course, is something traditionally that the Republican Party just can't stand. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because everyone in these United States ought to be in favor of participatory democracy when it comes to the election of our represented officials, of our representatives. What's wrong with that? I guess if you have some sort of an elitist attitude that would put you in a position to think that people are just not smart enough to vote, not smart as you are or something, maybe I could understand that. But certainly that's not the case. That shouldn't be the case in these United States. If people aren't smart enough to vote, then we should work on education, I suppose. But in any case, you know, just when, it's my theory that when you have a very small minority who could not be elected if they were honest about their agenda, then it's incumbent on you to fool as many people as you can, A, into voting for what you say your agenda is, and the other people you need to discourage from voting, or keep from people who aren't going to buy your line, you need to discourage them. And, of course, there's a long history of that in this country, particularly with poor people and African Americans. We're trying to extricate ourselves from that. I think we've done a pretty good job, but you know, apparently we still have some way to go. And I remember that the last Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Rehnquist, pretty much kind of cut his teeth on working as a poll watcher back in the day, challenging poor people who were trying to vote and so forth, making them feel intimidated so that they were not effective, an effective force. It goes way back. And Eggcorn, I think, represents a target because it does organize people to do so. Anyhow, the hoax, I guess you've all heard of it. These young operatives, Republican Party operatives, went and you know, with a film camera went down, a video camera rather, went down to an Acorn office and tried to, we are told, pose as a pimp and his prostitute, and were trying to get guidance from the people at Acorn as to how they could get some sort of social assistance or something like that. That's what we were told anyway. Now it seems like it was a scam. It looks like the videotape was heavily edited. The what we were presented does not look like it was the case. So we've asked Brad Friedman to join us, and we're going to get to the bottom of that in just a little bit. Also, I must tell you, friends, I've been working with some very, very interesting information that I found, and I'm going to bring you this information tomorrow in the course of my research for this program for you to try to find interesting points of view and information. I came across a professor out of Florida, Lance DeHaven Smith, and he's got just a very interesting take that he's been working on. He says to me that he too was energized as a result of the 2000 election, and he got heavily involved with trying to figure out, you know, what was going on, what was going wrong, where's the hole in our system that is allowing the theft, for instance, of the 2000 election. So he got energized, he got radicalized, and he started working. And he's come up with something, what I think is just absolutely fantastic. He's come up with a concept that he calls state crime against democracy, or as he puts it, SCAD. Okay, and let me give you the abstract of one of his papers, one of his scholarly papers that are published in some academic journals. We're going to have him on the program tomorrow. Lance DeHaven Smith, PhD from Florida State University. Here's the abstract, and I think you'll find this very, very interesting. Public administration theory and practice tend to overlook the possibility of state political criminality in liberal democracies. And by the way, if you're not familiar, that's the term that's used to describe the kind of situation that we have here in the United States. It's a liberal democracy. It doesn't mean liberal and conservative in the political sense that we use right and left here. I think it's a more of a historical perspective. So let me repeat the sentence here. Public administration theory and practice tend to overlook the possibility of state political criminality in liberal democracies. This article proposes a policy science to detect state crimes against democracy, SCADs, using social and political theory to understand when, why, how, and by whom such crimes are likely to be committed. After defining SCADs, or state crimes against democracy, and differentiating them from other types of political crimes, the article analyzes SCADs in terms of anti-democratic tendencies posited by theories of liberal democracy. SCADs are traced to specific institutional objectives by analyzing patterns in SCAD targets. Excuse me, SCAD targets, timing, and modus operandi. The role played by career civil servants in exposing government crimes and deceptions. Excuse me. Suggests that professional public administrators are a critical line of defense against the criminalization of the state. Well, it seems like the gremlins are trying to keep me from finishing that sentence. And my cough button is off today, but I'll be all back fitting as a fiddle right after this break.
America, you are being tested, but here's where we study for it. From 1/2 mile north of Ground Zero in New York City, you are listening to INN World Report Radio with Tom Kiley. Now, daily on GCN, 4 until 5 p.m. Central. For 9 years, the alternative media activists at INN have produced national daily television news and information programming, top-of-the-hour radio news briefs, and INN World Report Radio. News talk radio that brings you real news the networks won't tell you, and all of it 100% certified neocon free. To find out more and for details on the stories we are following, go to innworldreport.net.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, 5 days a week, right here on the great GCN Radio Network, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time. I apologize, friends. I had a little hard time with my throat there. Sometimes when I read, and, you know, this the winter time here in New York, the air is a little dry and so on and so forth. In any case, I do apologize for that. It probably does not sound like very good radio. So I endeavor, in any case, to always try to make it back up to you guys by providing you with some really interesting information, and that's what we were doing. I was just giving you a little heads up on tomorrow's guest, Lance DeHaven Smith. Just really fascinating work that he's doing. This is his groundwork, friends, for hopefully some very important new structures that we seem to be lacking, because we seem to be going through the same problem over and over again, particularly since the end of the Second World War, where we've got internal people within the government thwarting the will of the people. I once interviewed Daniel Ellsberg, and during the interview, I said to him, Mr. Ellsberg, you know, you're working at the Pentagon there in the RAND Corporation doing this project called, you know, which later became known as the Pentagon Papers. The Pentagon itself is working on a report that is totally opposite to what the President of the United States is telling everyone. Oh, yes, victory is around the corner. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. The report that Daniel Ellsberg was working on clearly showed, if you applied rational analysis, that this was not the case, that it was an unwinnable situation in Vietnam. But that report, while it was being offered to the president, was not being shown to the American people. And he, of course, gave it to the New York Times. It became known as the Pentagon Papers. And the rest is kind of like history. But I said, you know, Mr. Ellsberg, there must have been, you know, tens, maybe dozens of other people working on this paper with you. Why were you the only one to come forward? Why wasn't there a bunch of other Daniel Ellsbergs? And he told me, he said, Tom, you know, there's a lot of people within our government that do not believe in the democratic process. So I think Professor DeHaven Smith is really taking a bite out of that apple. So we're going to have him on tomorrow at this time. So we'll be talking with him about his theories. I think it's really fascinating. Anyway, right now, let's go. We've got him on the line now, Brad Friedman from Brad Blog. Always a pleasure. Brad, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. Great to be here.
What are you, on vacation up there in the mountains or something?
I wish. No, actually, out in Phoenix. I came out for a fundraiser, actually.
Very good. Well, I hope I wish you all success there with that fundraiser. But anyway, Brad, you're always on to some great stuff, and you do great work, particularly around elections. I was telling the audience before in the other segment, you got started in the wake of the 2004 elections. Is that correct?
Yeah, by and large, following the 2004 election, when all of those questions arose about Ohio and what the hell happened there, and it seemed worth investigating, so I did, even while you know, the rest of the corporate media, including the New York Times, absolutely refused to do so, refused to figure out what the hell had gone on, had gone wrong with our democracy.
Well, and so I did have it right that and you've been just top notch on elections, but also sort of other related issues. And that brings us to why we asked you to join us today. We want you to give our audience the latest on this whole Eggcorn thing, because there seems to be two major developments in the last few days. First of all, the lid sort of got blown off this guy O'Keefe, and it turns out to be a major scam, it looks like. And secondly, it looks like the damage has been done. Acorn is suffering, aren't they?
Oh, well, they're definitely suffering, and to the shame, really, the eternal shame of the Democrats who fell for this scam, who fell for the hoax of these so-called Acorn pimp videos that I'm sure you've seen and everybody else has seen that came out last year. They fell for the hoax. They didn't bother to look into these videos to find out just how doctored they were, to find out how much of a scam it really was. So, you know, I've been trying to get the word out on that, following James O'Keefe, he's the guy who played the pimp, or at least claimed that he played the pimp. As it turns out, he never actually did. That was all.
Well, one wonders if he was actually acting at all, or if he was just being true to his nature.
Well, when he was in those Acorn offices, on those videotapes, mind you, the only ones we've ever seen are the highly doctored, heavily overdubbed versions of these videos. They refused, both James O'Keefe and Andrew Breitbart, who published these videos originally on his big government site. They've refused to release the unedited video for some strange reason. They have released a version of a text transcript, which we're able to take some clues from, and among the clues that we're able to find is that, in fact, O'Keefe never actually played that pimp character that you've seen that he paraded around on Fox News, the sort of 70s-era blaxploitation pimp with a fur cape and a fedora and a walking stick. That was entirely and completely a scam. It was shot separately. It was shot later. It was laid in. And despite that, you know, he showed up on Fox News claiming that he was dressed exactly like this in those Acorn offices. Breitbart said he had dressed like this crazy pimp. Worse than that, though, was the fact that the New York Times, CNN, NPR, all of the media outlets reported the same thing, and it was completely a hoax. So, you know, he never dressed as a pimp. When he showed up in those offices, he was actually conservatively dressed in slacks and a button-down shirt, and had told the Acorn workers that, in fact, he was the boyfriend of this woman who, you know, was dressed sort of like a prostitute, but he was her boyfriend, and they were trying to save her from an abusive pimp. That was the whole reason that they had given to the Acorn workers. That was the reason that they needed to get a mortgage to get a house, to save her, to get her out of the clutches of this crazy pimp who had tried to kill her, who was stalking her, and all of these things. And basically, they entrapped these workers, tricking them into saying sometimes stupid things, but we really don't even know how stupid those things were because they did such a job of doctoring these videos and making them seem as something that they absolutely were not. Incredibly, the New York Times not only reported all of this stuff, but now that I have pointed out to them, to their senior editor for Standards, Greg Brock, and to their public editor, who's sort of their ombudsman, he's the reader's representative, Clark Hoyt, that in fact they completely misreported the story time and time again. He was never dressed as a pimp. Now even Hannah Giles has admitted that. She played the prostitute. Andrew Breitbart has admitted that. James O'Keefe is not saying much because he was recently arrested trying to manipulate the phone system down in New Orleans of Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu. So he's now facing federal felony charges for that, and he's kind of making up excuses for that, and I'm just hoping the New York Times are not going to be fooled again by these hoaxers.
Well, he seems to have a certain sense of invincibility and maybe well-founded in the circles that he travels in, but we'll talk with Brad Friedman right after this.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
All right, good friends, welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, Monday through Friday, 4 until 5 p.m. Central Time, where we bring you news the networks won't tell you, and certainly that's the case today for sure with our esteemed guest, Brad Friedman from BradBlog, bradblog.com. If you don't go there already, treat yourself. Go there and take a look. There's always this fascinating information percolating there. And, Brad, why don't we talk a little bit about this dimension of this crazy story, which turns out to be such a major hoax here. News the networks won't tell you. In this case, some major outlets ran with this thing without looking into it. You've been in contact with them. What do they have to say about their major gaffe here?
Yeah, dozens on dozens of news outlets, major news outlets, ran with this Acorn pimp hoax story. All of them, pretty much 2-1, misreported it. And we've been trying to hold New York Times accountable, since they are, after all, the paper of record. And they, you know, had misreported, you know, time and again that James O'Keefe dressed as a pimp, that he and Hannah Giles were dressed so outlandishly, they appeared in a, you know, to be in a risque high school play. And it was all not true. And when I bothered to point this out, because in fact, on December 7th of last year, the former Massachusetts Attorney General, Scott Harshbarger, came out with a report, looking at these, videotapes. You know, to determine if there was any criminality and so forth. He found no criminality, but he did point out that despite each and every video, you know, showing O'Keefe as wearing this pimp garb, that in fact in each office he was dressed as a conservative college student, you know, with slacks and a button-down shirt, and had represented himself as the boyfriend of the girl trying to save her from an abusive pimp. So when I pointed this out just after O'Keefe had been arrested, trying to warn the media, hey, don't believe what this guy is telling you because he's a liar, he's a known liar, one of my, and I had, you know, pointed to a report in the New York Times on January 30th on the arrest, or sort of following the arrest. It was really a fluff piece, sort of turning this James O'Keefe and his, you know, right-wing conspirators into folk heroes, really. And in that report, the reporter had described, he said that O'Keefe made his biggest national splash last year when he dressed as a pimp and trained his secret cameras on Acorn employees. Well, that was wrong. He didn't dress as a pimp and train his secret camera. When he trained his secret camera on the employees, he was dressed as a college student, a law student, so forth. So one of my readers at bradblog.com sent an email to the New York Times asking him if they were going to make a correction, because while they had reported this Acorn story over and over again, they never bothered once to report on the former Massachusetts Attorney General Scott Harshbarger's report, you know, finding that so much of this was a scam. Incredibly, the senior editor for Standards at the New York Times wrote back to this reader via email, and we've got the entire email exchange that I ended up jumping into, posted at bradblog.com. He told the reader, well, the reason we reported that is because O'Keefe himself appeared on Fox News in the outfit and said that that's what he was wearing, and, quote, we believe him. This is the evidence.
Let's roll back a second, Brad.
Yeah.
Did they say in the past tense we believed him, or we believe him as in we still believe him?
We still believe him. We believe him. We stand by the story. Therefore, there is no correction for us to make. They believe him. Now, my reader had then written back to the senior editor and said, well, look, here's the quote from former Massachusetts Attorney General's report showing that O'Keefe never appeared in that outfit. Well, the senior editor, Greg Brock, went on to say, well, there are interviews with employees who describe the costumes, and if you look carefully, there's some video that at one point you can see the costume he's wearing. And that was the point that I jumped into the conversation, and I said, okay, Mr. Brock, I'm not aware of any of these interviews. Could you point me towards them, and could you point me towards the video that shows him wearing this costume? Well, and at that point, he started backtracking and hedging and saying, well, I didn't say it was a public video, and I didn't say that we did those interviews. In other words, he was giving us stuff and nonsense, and he refused to give any evidence to back up his claims, which were just patently incorrect.
And then on top of it, you've got his cohort in crime there, the young woman. Now she's saying that he didn't wear the pimp outfit, correct?
She now agrees. Andrew Breitbart, who published these things, now agrees. They all agree with
everybody but the New York Times.
Everybody but the New York Times, who continues to stand by this report. Now, at that point, I jumped in, and I started CCing Clark Hoyt, who is the New York Times public editor, their ombudsman, and he's supposed to look at issues like this as a reader's representative and decide, you know, what is what, who's, you know, what needs to be done and whether corrections need to be recommended to the paper. In fact, Clark Hoyt had written a column last September after he was harangued by the right-wingers for the Times not being quick enough to report on these videos. And Clark Hoyt wrote a column chastising the New York Times for waiting, quote, nearly a week before reporting on the videos. And at that point, they actually assigned a new editor to look after issues of importance to Fox News and talk radio. Now, mind you, here we are 6 months after they first began misreporting the story. It's now been pointed out to them that they misreported this story, tragically, because it's had a tremendous effect on Acorn. You know, the day after they ran their first report, that's when Congress voted to defund Acorn, which is, you know, a community organization that helps poor people, helps them get a house, helps them, you know, fight for a living wage.
Helps them register to vote, for crying out loud. That's the biggest thing.
That's right, legally register to vote, which is why, by the way, they are targeted by the right wing. That's it. That's the only reason. The fact that they go out and register millions of legal voters to legally cast their vote and participate in their democracy, but they happen to be low and middle income voters, therefore they tend to vote Democratic, therefore the Republicans can have nothing of that. They've got to destroy Acorn. That's what all of this is about. Now, amazingly, Clark Hoyt, the public editor, whose email address, by the way, is public, if anybody wants to contact him, the address is public@nytimes.com. Ask him politely what the hell he could be thinking here, because he will also not recommend a correction, despite the fact that I've showed him in no uncertain terms, that O'Keefe was never wearing this pimp outfit. And incredibly, what he wrote to me was, he said, well, we reported, and of course he was only talking about one of the stories, but he said, we reported that O'Keefe wore his pimp costume and trained his secret camera on Acorn workers. We didn't say he did that at the same time. Therefore, no correction is necessary.
Huh. It depends on what the definition of the is.
What's that?
It sounds like kind of Clinton-esque. It depends on what the definition of the is.
Yeah, this is the definition of and. He trained his he dressed up as a pimp and trained his secret cameras on unsuspecting Acorn workers. But we didn't say he did it at the same time. I mean, it's absolutely mind-blowing.
And it's remarkable. It seems like, actually, the New York Times was doing the right thing at first by not jumping on this story.
Yep.
And they got you-know-what slapped, as they usually do, by the right wing. And so they did the wrong thing. And now they're defending the wrong thing rather than defending what they did initially, which was the right thing, to hold back and take a look. Anyway, friends, we'll be right back. We're talking with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
good friends. Welcome back. This is Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. until 5 p.m. Central Time, right here on the great GCN Radio Network. And we have one of my favorite guests on with us today for many reasons, not the least of which is his enthusiasm that he brings to the game. And also, Brett, I got to tell you, man, you're up on a lot of things. It's really it's refreshing to have an ally out there keeping his eye on so many things. You know, you can only try to keep up with so many things, but I can always rely on you from time to time to come up, and more often than not, to come up with something in a nice, clear way that eludes even the great New York Times, shall we say. How's that?
Bless you, brother. I appreciate it. And, yeah, I wish there was more citizen journalists out there covering not the, you know, the stuff that all the PAC journalists are following, but the stuff that actually matters. And this story, you know, of this whole Acorn pimp hoax really does matter, because it really strikes at the heart of our democracy. It's meant, you know, to do nothing but keep legitimate voters from being able to register and sign up and cast their vote and participate in their democracy. And, of course, the bigger picture is that, you know, if the New York Times and all the rest fell for the hoax from these right-wingers last time, they will indeed fall for it again unless they are held accountable, which is why, you know, I'm
And how many times have they fallen for it in the past and we didn't have somebody like you that watching out and pointing it out to us? Can you hold on one second? Listen, friends, what do you think about this whole scam? Why don't you give us a call, 866-582-9933, toll-free, 866-582-9933. And if you've got a question that you'd like to pose to Brad Friedman, who's been steady on this case, you can give us a call, and I'll send you out a book as well. How about Jaded Tasks from Wayne Madsen? Okay, I think it's a really interesting book. Also somebody who's discussing threats to our democracy. But in any case, give us a ring, 866-582-9933. Were you taken in by the Acorn scam? Okay, as presented by Fox News, and this video supposedly of the pimp and his hooker showing up asking for assistance. What do you think? 866-582-9933. Is this news to you? Did you know that the whole thing apparently was pretty much a scam? All right, so while we're waiting for somebody to give us a ring, Brad, what about the impact that it's had on Acorn? Now, we discussed in the last segment how they got their funding withdrawn. Acorn has been hit pretty hard now, hasn't it? Aren't they sort of coming apart?
Yeah, the impact has really been devastating. In fact, while Congress and the shameful Democrats voted to remove funding from Acorn, what little they get, by the way, they get about $3.5 million a year total in federal tax dollars over the past 15 years. But that, happily, a judge found that legislation to be unconstitutional, an unconstitutional bill of attainder. You can't pass legislation that targets a specific person or a specific group. So their funding has not been pulled yet there, but as I said, that was actually a very small percentage of their funding, and this has been so damaging that, you know, a lot of their private funders are, you know, have now been afraid to work with them. The name itself has taken a hit. So the national organization is sort of in the process of devolving to a bunch of local organizations that don't have the same kind of national structure anymore. But, you know, this is an organization, the national organization, that deals with some 400,000 families, low and middle income families, in, you know, 75 different cities, thousands of chapters, really providing services that are the most needed at these levels. You know, these are the sort of things, if they had the word Christian in their name, you know, they would probably be one of these organizations that the Republicans support as a faith-based organization, because they really are privately helping a lot of folks out there, and they have been absolutely devastated by this partisan political hit campaign that, though it was a hoax, it was very effective and has really damaged these people. And has ended up hurting the people who can afford it least in our country.
So I'm just doing the math here. $3 million over 15 years, 400,000 people they're helping. It's something like eight bucks a head.
Yeah.
from the U.S. government. Okay.
Compare that, by the way, to the billions of dollars that corporations like Blackwater are getting per day. I mean, Blackwater gets more money from the U.S. government in a day than Acorn has in their lifetime. And while the right-wingers are up in arms telling you, oh, you know, it's government waste, Acorn, and look, they're running child prostitution rings. Of course, they are doing nothing of the sort. But at the same time, Blackwater is now facing two cases in federal court from two different sets of employees who have charged that, in fact, Blackwater actually is running a prostitution ring, perhaps even a child prostitution ring, inside the Green Zone in Baghdad and in Afghanistan, and charging it all to the federal government, and no one gives a damn about it. It's absolute, you know, these right-wingers who claim that, you know, they're fighting for the children, these poor child prostitutes who don't exist, by the way. That was completely part of the Acorn pimp hoax scam. But where you have a real case of this happening with Blackwater, these guys don't give a damn. I mean, go to any right-wing site, search for the word Acorn, you will find hundreds of articles. Go to that same site and search for the word Blackwater and see what you find. Nothing.
Maybe we should pack young O'Keefe off to Iraq, you know, give him some fatigues, teach him how to use an M16, teach him which end is which, and have him go report on those issues. What do you think? Don't hold your breath, huh?
You know, sounds fine to me, except for the fact that I don't think we ought to have federal felons in our U.S. armed services. I believe people like James O'Keefe.
We got enough of them in there already, I guess, right?
They deserve to be in jail, not out there fighting and representing my country.
Brent, can you tell us a little bit about that connection between these guys like O'Keefe and one of them, apparently at least one of them anyway, got some training in a CIA program in college? Did you hear about that?
The three guys that he was arrested with while they were manipulating, attempting to occur, federal felony by misrepresenting themselves as phone company employees and trying to get access to Senator Mary Landrieu's phone system down there. It was O'Keefe and three other right-wing nuts who were arrested along with him. One of them was actually the son of the U.S. attorney down there. There are some connections. At least one of them has a very direct connections to the intelligence services. He was serving as a recruiter on college campuses for the intelligence services. So his connection, whether it's to the CIA or the DIA, you know, we don't know for sure. But, yeah, he definitely has connections back to the U.S. intelligence services, and he was one of the guys who was participating in this scam to get access to the phones of a sitting U.S. senator. We still don't know why. We still don't know if they were trying to bug them, tap them, manipulate them. We don't know. All we have to go on right now is James O'Keefe's word about it. His story, his explanation is preposterous, makes no sense at all, but that's why I've been covering this story, because I fear that no matter what he says, the New York Times and the rest of the corporate media out there is going to buy it hook, line, and sinker and be fooled yet again, either be fooled or, you know, knowingly pass on disinformation, as clearly the New York Times is doing now, because now they know, and they're still standing by their reports that were absolutely wrong time and time again. If this stuff is not stopped now, if the New York Times is not held accountable, and by the way, the public editor, Clark Hoyt, his email address is public@nytimes.com. And I hope you really contact them. If they're not stopped, they will keep doing it, Tom.
Not only that, but it's very reminiscent, this compost pile, this manure pile from which these kinds of flowers grow. Very reminiscent in my mind to a young man named Karl Rove, whose name popped up doing dirty tricks during the whole Watergate investigation. I think he was lighting off stink bombs during the rallies of Democratic opponents to Republicans, and passing out flyers with the wrong date for the rally on them, things like that. You know, from small, humble beginnings, look what could grow, right?
That's it. And if the media is not there to stop them, it'll keep going.
The media is not there to stop them. Brad Friedman will do it. go to Brad Blog, folks, bradblog.com, and you can be up on these kinds of stories as well. Thank you very much, Brad. Tomorrow, Lance DeHaven Smith will be here to talk about state crimes against democracy.